The New York Knicks lose game 3 down in Philadelphia, now lead the series 2-1. Should Joel Embiid be suspended for game 4? We're going to go over a lot tonight, also previewing game 4. So let's do it.
Let's drop that intro.
Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game.
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, Knicks Nation? We are back doing another podcast, episode 48 of the Knicks Nation podcast, previewing game 4, which is on Sunday, and also going over game 3, which just happened. Obviously, a lot to talk over in that game. I'll give Chris pretty much the floor because he wants to talk over a lot, considering, you know, what transpired in that game 3 down in Philadelphia. But Chris, man, how are you? How are you, sir? How are you feeling about, you know, that game all in all?
You know what? Surprisingly, I feel pretty damn good, man. I mean, okay. Look, you know, the Knicks did lose that game. It was a hell of a game, physical game. You know, Embiid should not have been allowed to play after the first quarter, in my opinion. You know, look, my biggest concern so far with this series has been, you know, the referees, right? Obviously, game 1, physical game. But for the most part, at the end of the game, everything was even as far as what the refs called. Game 2, we all know it was crazy, right? Yeah. A lot of people want to say the Knicks basically were gifted a game. In my opinion, they had to earn it by hitting those clutch baskets at the end. But whatever. Game 3, it was a totally different officiated type of game. Like, yeah, look, I hope that's what it was. I really do. I hope that's what it was. I kind of expected it, you know, coming into that game. I was like, you know what? Philly's been bitching about it. You know, they're going to get theirs, right? But did I think that blatant fouls were just not going to be called? Flagrants that should have been called that weren't called? I didn't think it was going to be anything like that. You know, I'll keep it at that for now. I'm going to start rambling here. But Ant, how are you feeling tonight, man?
Look, man, I said it, guys, before game 3. I said it was going to be a cage match, and I knew it. Knicks knew it. Josh Hart knew it. They knew it was going to be one of those games. One of those games where the Philadelphia 76ers were looking to push the buttons and looking to see how far they could go. Embiid opening up that first quarter, he went far, extremely far, and he stayed in the game. But, you know, it took me a day to process it. Obviously, Knicks Twitter and Philly Twitter have been kind of going back and forth with each other today, which has been kind of, look, Philly fans are defending that, and they're bringing up a play with Dante DiVincenzo. Remember that the Knicks played the Philadelphia 76ers? I forgot when it was, but Dante took out Kelly Oubre's legs because he got kneed in the face and kind of like bear hugged his legs. And they're like, oh, look at this play. So this is dirty. It's not even a true comparison. It's totally different. Dante got kneed in the face in that play. But Philly fans are going to defend his guy. I've said it multiple times. I've posted a lot of videos. Joel Embiid is a loser. He's soft. But Philly, they came out and they were physical, extra physical. They tried to punk the Knicks, and it's game 4 is how the Knicks respond. It's how the New York Knicks respond. They came out swinging in game 3. Referees were letting everything go. It was frustrating being a Knicks fan. I was frustrated. I'm sure all of you guys were frustrated watching it. Multiple times Embiid should have got thrown out, in my opinion, but he didn't. What are you going to do about it now?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it now? I got a poll in the chat. Should Embiid be suspended for game 4, or do you want him out there for some revenge? So vote on that. But Chris, man, They were trying to punk us there in that opening third, in the opening first quarter. Kind of calmed down a bit. The Knicks weathered the storm. I like their response. That third quarter is what lost us the game. But it's all about game four now. It's all about what are the New York Knicks going to do. Yeah. Got to do something.
Look, and that third quarter, look, putting everything aside, that was insane, right? Embiid hitting, I think, 4-4 from three to start the avalanche of threes.
Yeah.
I think the Sixers went 9 of 12 overall in the third quarter, just hitting three after three after three. And for whatever reason, you know what? I was pretty calm during that stretch because what did I know about the New York Knicks? They were going to keep on fighting, and the game was far from over. And look, regardless of how we were officiated, how lopsided it was, the New York Knicks were still in this game late until, again, the refs, you know, tilted everything towards the 76ers side. But, again, I digress. You know, I knew that game three was going to be a bear. I mean, if anybody thought the Knicks were going to roll up into Philly game three and it'd be a cakewalk, there was no way that was going to happen. But in my opinion, look, I think the NBA – and the officiating, the refs in general, they're setting up dangerous precedents, in my opinion, when it comes to, you know, this series and how it's being officiated, man. I mean, you got on one side where you can barely, it's like there was three separate whistles. There was the one for the Knicks, the one for the 76ers as a team, and then Joel Embiid has his own. Because on one end, we see Jalen Brunson getting hit left and right. Dante DiVincenzo, you know, getting mauled in his face. We saw Mitch get low-blowed, pulled out of the air. Ihart get low-blowed, you know. And some of these things weren't even called. Meanwhile, Ihart on the other end, you know, puts his hand on Embiid's waist and it's a foul. Barely grazes his hand, foul. You know, I can go on and on. Our bigs end up in foul trouble. I think Embiid got three fouls in the first quarter. I don't even know if he got one the rest of the way in that game.
Nope.
How is that possible?
How is
that possible? Both our bigs basically get taken out of the game due to foul trouble, and the refs are clearly calling ticky-tack fouls on the Knicks, literally limiting how they can defend the 76ers. But they allow the 76ers to just pull jerseys, push players. You know, come on, man. What is that? What is that?
It was their makeup game. It was the NBA's makeup game. Look, that was their way of pretty much saying, look, now it's even. That's what I'm thinking. Because there was a couple of, I mean, obviously the Embiid shenanigans aside, but in that fourth quarter, when the Knicks were actually coming back, like you said, the Knicks were in this game. Like they were, even in that blow up, it took the Philadelphia 76ers to have such a great third quarter to win this game. Think about that. It took them to have 43 points in that third quarter to ultimately pull out this game. Knicks were hanging with them. Josh Hart was hitting his threes in the second half again, hanging with them. Brunson was doing his thing. I believe he had, 13 assists in the game, and he was scoring, which is good to see. But it took the 76ers that blow-up third quarter, BS aside, to ultimately win the game. And look, do the Knicks have to make adjustments? Yeah. I believe now the 76ers have led in every single game by double-digit numbers. But at the end of the day, the New York Knicks are up 2-1, right?
Yep.
Going back to Embiid, you know Embiid has more flagrant fouls than Draymond Green in less games played. I think I heard that today on the Michael K show. He has more flagrant fouls than Draymond Green. Embiid's a dirty player, man. He's a sneaky, dirty player. But it's like NBA's golden child, right? It's like when you look at baseball and Shohei Ohtani, kind of don't want to touch him. I'm not comparing the two, but I'm saying Embiid is kind of like that type of player where the NBA, they let him do whatever, get away with it, throws a temper tantrum. And like I said, it's how the Knicks respond in game four. But yeah, I found that crazy, Chris, the Draymond Green thing. I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that. I really, really didn't know that. And look, like, again, you know, I was giving props to Embiid, man. I was giving props to, obviously, before all of this. You know, he was out
there. Before all this. Injured. I was like, what? Giving props to Embiid?
Before all of this. Because he's going out there. Obviously, we all know he's not right. He's injured. Yeah. He's dealing, you know, with his eye issue as well, which is ridiculous. And he's coming out here and he's performing, right? He's coming out here and he's doing his part, you know. But then to just stoop. And again, look, the 76ers came into game three saying, oh, we're going to be physical. We're going to be physical. You know, we're going to out-physical the Knicks, right? There's clearly a difference in what physical means to the New York Knicks, which is just being gritty, playing hard, but playing the right way, versus what Philly thought physical is, which is being dirty and literally, you know, not playing the game with any integrity, right? They're just going out there, basically breaking the rules, and the refs are just like, okay, we're going to just look the other way because maybe you guys should have won, you know, game two, in my opinion. Yeah. And I hope that's the reason, but in my opinion, yo, the NBA and the referees have to address this. They can't just sweep it under the rug. They need to acknowledge what happened and either say something. Hell, I mean, What do you think? I mean, I highly doubt they're going to suspend Embiid for game four.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But I don't think that shouldn't be out of the question either.
I don't think it should be either. I think I heard the Windhorse podcast today, and he said that the NBA will look at the play where Embiid two times where he kind of extended his leg, one on Mitchell Robinson, another on Isaiah Hartenstein. So I he's going to be out there for game four. I doubt that the NBA is going to do anything about it. Like I said, it is what it is at this point. It sucks, but it especially sucks when you have Philly fans defending that BS, but that's what they're going to do. Low lives. It is what it is. Knicks had 54 points in the paint, Chris, and they had 19 free throw attempts. Joel Embiid had 21 by himself. Tom Thibodeau had a great quote at the end of the game. I think he said he's going to send it in and they're going to say marginal contact. And then they're going to say marginal contact on Joel Embiid and he's going to go through the free throw line 21 times. So,
yeah,
this is how they're going to do it, man. I mean, I think he's leading the playoffs in free throw attempts. So he gets to the free throw line a lot. Him and Maxey. Maxey's kind of been slow in getting to the line, but I mean, like I said, it took the Sixers that third quarter was a dagger. It took them that third quarter to actually beat us. And we can feel good about that. We can look at that as a positive, right? They're not going to shoot. They almost shot 48% from three in that game, which was crazy. And Embiid was hitting a lot of tough shots in that game. Their role players, you know, kind of, I think, Campaign stepped up for them. He stepped up and Tobias Harris is still a no-show for them, but role players play better at home. So, yeah, man, it stinks. It really does stink, but I guess we just got to see the Knicks' response in game four. You know, at the end of the day, we just got to see the Knicks' response in game four. Hit some of these comments. Nostalgic Nick says, Jericho Sims is the answer. I want Jericho Sims to come in the game and just give Embiid a shoulder, man. Look, I've been saying it. Knicks got to – it's not going to happen. But, you know, someone of that ilk, somebody, you got to be more physical with this guy. You got to lean into him. You got to lean into that knee a little bit. When you're going off for a rebound, lean into the knee a little bit, man. Make it hurt. Not saying injure the dude. I'm not saying that, even though he's trying to injure our players. But you got to make him work. You got to bump him down low, make him work, fall on the ground. Oops, my bad. Fall on him, bump him, elbow him a little, make him feel you, man. That's how they want to play. That's how they want to play. So now in game four, the Knicks have to retaliate and do it smartly. Don't be stupid. You know, don't be stupid. But it's in the Knicks' character, Chris. I overheard Monica Minuk. She was on the Alan Hahn show today, and she said, the Knicks actually probably got hurt in this whole situation from being such like a well-coached, you know, team. I forgot the word she says. So we're pretty much for being like professionals about the whole situation. Because let's say Mitchell Robinson made a big deal out of it. He falls on the floor, makes a big deal out of it, pushes Embiid. Who's to say Embiid's out of there at that point? So maybe you got to just be dramatic about certain things. But yeah, man.
It sucks because I thought about that too, you know? What if it, yeah. You know, what if Mitch just started grabbing his leg and rolling on the ground or something, you know, selling it. And look, that's not who the Knicks are, man. That is just not who the Knicks are. But on the flip side, why was Embiid on the ground anyway when Mitch was going up for that dunk? Because he thought he got hit.
Yeah.
I think it was OG Anunoby barely grazed him, and he just fell to the floor as if somebody drop kicked him in his spine. I mean, come on, man. What happened to the flopping calls? We haven't even seen that. And let's be real, Embiid is just flopping left and right. I've never seen an NBA center fall on the floor as much as Embiid does. It's like every shot he's flopping. He's kicking out his leg, he's dropping to the ground, flailing his arms. But God forbid Jalen Brunson does something close to similar. You know, it's a big deal, and he's a foul hunter. Like, look, the Knicks definitely need to go out there and be more physical with Embiid. I think you can't get too crazy with it to the point where, you know, it messes up the game plan or gets guys in foul trouble or something like that. But look, I agree. Look, obviously there's things the Knicks could have did better, you know, in game three. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of adjustments, but
game four.
One thing I'll say is you cannot let guys like Kelly Oubre go off and campaign, especially campaign. Because let's be real, if campaign doesn't score those 12, 13 points, the Knicks are still, you know, in a position to win that game, you know?
Yeah.
That's even with Embiid's 50 points, Maxey still playing well, the Knicks were in that game. And that's something to feel incredibly good about. And more importantly, Jalen Brunson looked like Jalen Brunson, which hopefully carries over to the next game.
It will. That's the most important thing. Look, in this game, look, Philly shot 48% from three. Knicks shot 43% from three. It's the free throw. Look at the free throw disparity, man. 33-19. Knicks 68%, Philly 84%. So Philly at the line, they were doing a great job. And they out-rebounded the Knicks 36-22. Knicks 11 offensive rebounds, assist numbers. Knicks beat them in that. Turnovers, Knicks only had 9. And look, in this game, I really love what I saw from Jalen Brunson. I love what I saw from Anunoby. I want to get him more involved offensively. Isaiah, nostalgic Nick in the chat says Isaiah has to match that energy. Yep, and Isaiah can't get into foul trouble like he did. Now that we don't know the status of Mitchell Robinson from, you know, from here on out, hopefully he's good. I mean, that'll suck if we lose him for the, you know, rest of the series. But I thought in that first half, he was playing well. So you're going to get contributions from Precious. Precious stepped in, Chris, and did absolutely. I thought he did a good job. But, you know, he's going to cut. Look, he's another one from the Bronx, man. Coming to game, he's not going to take any crap, man. He's not. So I like what I saw from Precious. Hart was doing his thing again. Hart, man, with these threes. 4 of 8 from three again. I think in this series, he's shooting like something like 50% or something. 45%. No, 52% from three. He's hit 4 threes in every single game. Josh Hart. He's built for this, man. So, look, like you said, man, despite everything, despite all the BS, I kind of want to move on from everything. We've said, you know, our piece about that. It sucks. We just have to wait. You saw what Charles Oakley said today, which is kind of funny. Let me just pull up the picture that I put with Charles Oakley. I probably would have smacked him. Charles Oakley on Joel Embiid. That's from Barbara Barker from Newsday. She got a quote from him. I probably would have smacked him. That's from Charles Oakley. Yeah. Look, we need that. I've been waiting to see some of that, man.
Look, that's what I mean. Look, I just wish there was more to it than what there actually was, right? I think it was Dante DiVincenzo who was probably the most outspoken at the time when it happened. I think OG Anunoby also went up there. But, you know, again, we need somebody to get in Embiid's face and basically say, yo, You can't do this. You can't punk us like this. You know, you want a war? We're going to give you a war. So I was a little bit disappointed, man. I wanted Mitch to be up there, you know, getting Embiid's face. But look, you know, obviously the Knicks didn't want to, I guess, risk the chance that maybe one of their guys were going to get called for a attack or something like that, you know, being, you know, down in the game at that point. I mean, I don't know, man. I wish it played out a little bit different as far as how the Knicks reacted. But again, there's a difference to how the Knicks view a physical game versus obviously how Philly describes a physical game. And I don't like it, man. I just don't like it's one thing to play tough, get out hustled, you know, play hard. But going out there and doing dirty plays like Embiid did, I'm not here for that, bro.
Look, although Julius Randle was kind of his friends with Joel Embiid, like that's who we need in that situation. He'll bring that crazy. He'll bring that crazy, man. Don't mess with Randle. But yeah,
I wish he was on the bench, man. He would have been out there for sure.
He activated his Twitter today, which was interesting. He's been away for a while, but yes, Mike says Sim should clothesline Embiid going up for a shot or layup. We have to put him on the floor. Everyone's saying Jericho, but that's not like Jericho, right? Jericho is like that quiet kid who doesn't do any of that. But, you know, just use those fouls, right?
I mean, I think everybody's saying Jericho because he's built like a freaking tank.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, you want Embiid to feel something, it's going to be, you know, Jericho, right? In my opinion. But yeah, man, I don't see Tibbs going to that level, you know, stooping down to that level. In my opinion, go out there and win game four, and that'll speak volumes, right?
That's it, man. Look, at the end of the day, we're still up 2-1. Philly can talk all their crap. I know Knicks faithful would travel down to Philly on Sunday. I'm already hearing some rumblings about that. A lot of Knicks fans are going to travel. It's a weekend. It's a 1 o'clock start. But, yeah, look, Sunday, if you win that game, you go up 3-1, and then you come back to MSG with a chance to close out Philly in a hostile environment and with Knicks fans all over the Philadelphia 76ers, because you think MSG was crazy then. Imagine now, after all of this stuff happened.
Oh, yeah.
The chants are going to be unreal for Embiid, for everybody. You think MSG was crazy before? Just wait till game five.
Hey, man, look, in game three, you could still hear some Deuce chants. You could still hear some MVP chants for the Knicks. Look, man, if anything, game four, you might hear it in Philly, right? You might hear people going after Embiid and letting them know. Because, look, Knicks, like you said, the Knicks fans travel well. And it's been already said, Philly, I think, as of this night, they haven't sold out the game yet. So plenty of chances for Knicks fans to get out there and get some tickets, right? So don't be surprised if, you know, come Sunday, you know, that arena is pro Knicks going after Embiid.
It will be. Buzzer Beater says we took the high road in that situation. Yeah, we took the high road. And look, if the Knicks got kind of crazy in that situation, I do think probably the NBA would have been like, all right. Chris, this is it. The pool report at the end of the game said that, I guess we'll just talk about this now, and then we'll just, you know, put this on the back burner because it's annoying me even speaking about it more and more. But every single NBA referee were in agreement that wasn't, you know, a flagrant two. So even the people went to caucus. So let's pretend I'm to caucus and pretend that you're the NBA referee kind of like talking to me.
All right. Here we go. Secaucus, we need some help here. Some crazy shit just went down, and, you know, Embiid should be out of this game, but we kind of like this guy. And what do you see in this play here? I mean, Embiid, you know, clearly he should be out of this game. What do we do?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I think it was a flagrant two, but can we really look, Embiid is the former MVP. Can we really like kick him out of this game this early? Like, we have millions of people watching this game. This is a national televised game. We don't want to do this. We don't want the Knicks to go up 3-0. And then this series is over. So no, flagrant one, move on. All right.
Flagrant one, or should we say marginal contact, common foul?
Yep. I mean, move on. Come on. Everyone is in agreement with that. So caucus, look, they didn't want to kick out Embiid in that situation. But look, talking about the game itself, Chris, the positives I loved was Jalen Brunson. I thought Dante, you know, he didn't really attempt a lot of shots. He did have a crazy dunk in the first half, which was kind of crazy. Deuce was okay. Bogdanovich only hit one shot. OG was great. Hartenstein, the foul trouble, but then again, the ticky-tack fouls need to stop. Like, if you're going to call everything on Embiid, you cannot call these ticky-tack fouls on Isaiah Hartenstein, especially now with Mitchell Robinson. We don't know the status on him, but what do you think the Knicks can carry over to game four to kind of – because offensively, we're playing really well, you know?
Yeah.
But what do you think defensively they need to kind of make some changes?
I think they got to fight over these screens a lot better, man. That's the bread and butter that's what I'm seeing from the 76ers. A lot of screens, obviously, with Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. You know, either then they kick out to the three-point line, somebody who's either open, or they kick it back to Embiid because Tyrese Maxey just forces a double with his speed. I'm seeing a lot of that. I want the Knicks to maybe – look, again, OG Anunoby's just running around chasing Maxey. Can't seem to get through those picks. Doesn't fight well. I still say put Dante on Tyrese Maxey. Dante will be the one to go through Embiid, fight through the picks harder, in my opinion. Find a way to get OG Anunoby on the opposite side or something. That's one thing I would like to see. Another thing, look, I get it. We got to get up into Embiid, but, you know, Iheart cannot overplay him as well. Because we saw that in game three. He got up in Embiid space and boom, right away, foul after foul after foul. So we do got to be smarter. And it's unfortunate because, again, this is why I feel like the officiating has kind of, you know, taken the Knicks out of what they do best, which is basically played hard-nosed defense. They're not able to play defense, basically, because of all these ticky-tacky fouls that are being called.
Yeah. Maxey and Embiid, they're killing us with this pick and roll. They're killing us. Embiid, look, that two-man game between Maxey and Embiid, it seems like Knicks are kind of dropping a little bit, leaving Embiid open a lot. And Embiid, look, in that third quarter, he hit a lot of tough shots, so credit to him, great player. But I feel like the Knicks can do a better job, and I feel like they will adjust. Do you think it could be Dante on Maxey? Look, Dante's first – I mean, Maxey's first step is quick, man. He's going to blow by – he's blown by Anunoby, but I don't know, because then you have to deal with some switches in certain situations. But Dante is – he leads one of the leaders in deflections this year, underrated defender. So I like that idea, but in terms of, like, they got to figure something out with that pick and roll, because that they just kept going to it over and over and over again. And there were times when Hartenstein was in Embiid's face. There were times where, you know, the shot was contested. You just got to credit the great player.
Yeah.
And Maxey had a little bit of a run in that third too, but yeah, it's just one of those things where that's not going to – that was such like an amazing third quarter to them that they're not going to repeat that again. At least I don't think. You know, scoring 43, shooting what? You said 8 threes in that third quarter?
Felt like Nine of 12.
I feel like they had a magnet on the ball in that third quarter.
Yeah.
But Knicks were right there. Like, I was watching the game and – my wife was actually watching the game downstairs. She was upset because they just kept hitting three after three after three, but Josh Hart kept responding.
Yeah.
And offensively, we're good. Tom Thibodeau, he said, look, offensively, we're good. I think the Knicks are number one in terms of, you know, teams left in the playoffs in offensive rating, so we're good on that part. But it's the defensive end. It's the crazy shooting by Embiid. It's the free throw attempts is what's killing the Knicks. And yeah. Hartenstein, man, you can't get into foul trouble, especially with Mitch, you know,
yeah,
not being there.
And now with you know, it's been reported that Mitch left the game with a walking boot on. You know, to me, I don't like that. I don't like that. I know it's probably just precaution, get him in a walking boot so he doesn't, like, twist his ankle or anything further. But, look, he got a couple, you know, a couple days to rest up. I don't know if he's going to be out there. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Mitch missed a game or two. Because this is the same ankle, you know, he had surgically repaired. And like you said, now iHeart becomes that much more important, especially when it comes to guarding Embiid. So he's going to have to be smarter about hand placement on Embiid when he's trying to, you know, body him up, things like that. Can't afford to get into foul trouble in game four.
This was from IQ43 on Twitter. So he posted a he posted a video of Embiid's dirty plays on his Twitter account. And today, the NBA took it down. They took it down from his page. They took it down from, I think, Bleacher Report's page. They sent the memo out, took those videos down. They don't want that being out there. It's still out there. We can still see it. But I just thought that was kind of crazy for that. It got copyrighted. So that was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. It's like, what are they trying to cover up at this point, right?
You can't really cover up anything, man. You can't really cover up anything. And look, obviously, the right thing to do would be suspend this man. The right thing to do would be suspend Joel Embiid, but it's not going to happen. We move on to game four. And I think the Knicks can win game four. I think we can go in there. It's going to be loud again. A lot of Knicks fans are going to be in there. And I feel like if we stick to our plan, if we, you know, obviously keep shooting the ball well, JB keep doing his thing, I feel like we can go up 3-1. And if we take a strength, look, it's going to be another must win for Philly. They don't want to go down 3-1 going back to New York. And then they have to win three straight games after that. That's going to be tough. So I feel like the Knicks can get this one. And I'm speaking it into existence. I feel like they will get this one. Game 4 W in Philadelphia. Let's go, man. Look, man, that got me upset, man. I'm telling you, game. That game just got me so pissed off. Like, and then he's just going to, you know, just go about his, you know, his response, his, like, I keep going back to what I said. I don't want to keep talking about it, but his response saying, oh, because that he didn't want to get hurt. So you don't want to get hurt, but you'll try to hurt Mitchell Robinson. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
So.
And look, again, I know we're trying to move past this. Yeah. Look, when you look at the still, Mitch was firmly on the ground in front of Embiid. You know, if anything, Embiid pulled him closer to falling on him, you know, by doing what he did. So, come on, man. I saw a tweet, and it was a post from Michelle Beato, who was interviewing Emmanuel Quickly, former Knick, and they asked him. They said, so would you agree that Joel Embiid's foul on Mitchell Robinson was dirty? And IQ said, I ain't trying to get fined, but if that was anybody else, I don't know if he'd get the same call. So come on, man. Even players, you know? Yep. Exactly, right there. Even players are saying.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think I can play it. It doesn't come through the speaker. But yeah, IQ said, look, he said, I ain't trying to get fined, but if that was anyone else, I don't think he would get the same call. Shout out to IQ. I think he's speaking highly of Thibs too, but this is from Brian Windhorst is what I was talking about. In all honesty, it wouldn't shock me if the league looked at that and they retroactively called that a flagrant. This was the incident with Embiid kicking Mitch Robinson in the groin.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy. He's the dirtiest Literally, player in the NBA. He's a bad guy.
We've seen less than that be called a flagrant, you know, like a, I don't get it, man. I don't get how you could turn a blind eye to that.
Look, if this is Draymond Green, he's out of there. Look, extending that right leg in Mitchell Robinson's groin. Come on, bro. Come on, NBA. Come on, NBA. Wake up. Wake up, Adam. You got to wake up. You got to wake up, man, because Josh Hart got thrown out of the Bulls game. Remember for this BS? Yeah. Remember, right?
For and this that BS. Was clearly unintentional. You know, like, come on. Like, how can... Getting frustrated, but...
Yeah.
We got to move past it. I mean, it is what it is. It happened. And Embiid dropped 50. Knicks were still in this game regardless. So, look. One thing I do want to note about game four that I do hope gets better.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not expecting a grand big change or a 360, but it's no secret the 76ers are hunting Jalen Brunson on the defensive side. And I think Jalen Brunson has to up the energy when it comes to that. Look, I know he's doing a lot on the offensive side, you know, going running basically nonstop throughout the whole game. But he has to put a little bit more effort, in my opinion, you know, when he's being hunted by guys. Sometimes he's just getting out of the way. We can't have that. I think he needs to give a little bit more resistance when it comes to that side of the ball. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good observation. I did notice that, too, that they were attacking the Knicks' smaller guards, Brunson and Devo. They were attacking, you know, their bigger guards in terms of Harris and Oubre. They were just going to the rim. And I also noticed as Embiid is posting up, they're kind of hitting Hartenstein, kind of backing him up a little bit more to give Embiid better position. So they have that guard coming off the pick and running, you know, kind of nudging Hartenstein to kind of give Embiid a better position. So it's little things like that that I think the Knicks will pick up in film. But obviously adjustments. Every game is adjustment. Every game is different in the playoffs, right? Game three wasn't the same as game two. Game four is not going to be the same as game three. And Philly in game three, didn't really go zone that much. They didn't. They went zone a few, but they didn't really go zone that much. So it's all about, it's the little things that I've noticed. Like you said, they're trying to attack Brunson. They're trying to attack DiVincenzo and just get him off their feet. And they're trying to get Embiid into his spots. They're trying to get him closer to the hoop so he doesn't have enough, you know, so he has more, you know, space to operate around the hoop. But, yeah, man, it's just all about adjustments. Mike says, karma finna get Embiid, Mike says in the chat. Basketball guys, right? It's karma. He touched. Look, and the thing about Embiid is he guaranteed they're going to win the series. He backed it up with 50 points, but he did it in the dirty way. But at the end of the day, it's first to four. We just got to get two more, and that's it. We got to worry about what we have in the locker room. Jalen Brunson, I thought, had a great attitude after the game, saying that, look, we got to worry. We got to, look, focus on that third quarter, and we cannot allow that to happen again. Obviously, JB's going to take the high road and not talk about anything else. But that's what they're focused on. They're looking at this film. All the other antics it would just come in within the flow of the game. But I think the Knicks, at the end of the day, they're focused. They have one thing that's on their mind. And if Embiid wants to play like that, okay. Let's rock, Joel. Let's rock, man. But like I said, Knicks need to play more physical. They need to give him an elbow. Make it a little friendly elbow. Lean on that knee a little bit. They need to make him feel you. You need to do something to get him uncomfortable. At the end of the game, he needs to be huffing and puffing and all bruised up and his knees hurting. He's limping back to the locker room. You need to do that. Fall on him. My bad. I was just going up for a rebound. Sorry. Stuff like that, yeah. Chris, that they need to come together as a group. And that's how you got to slow him down. He's doing it to you.
Exactly. You got to give them a taste of their own medicine, right? They want to play like that. You know, again, I'm not saying go out there and deliberately injure someone or anything like that. But body him up. Pick him up full court when he's going up the court. You know, bump him left and right. Don't let him out of your sight. You know, bump him off of his spots. I think that's one thing for sure in this series that we haven't seen yet, right? You know, they haven't seen anybody trying to get him beat off the spot. If he's going to post up at the three-point line, box him out in there, you know? Push him around. Get him off that spot. He wants to be close to the line.
He wants to shoot.
Push him back. Yeah, exactly. He wants to shoot. And I think that's the most maddening part about it, when it comes to the Tyrese Maxey and Embiid pick and roll. Again, Tyrese Maxey is so fast and demands so much attention that by the time Ihart or Mitch drop down to help on Maxey, it's a wide open three almost every single time for this guy. And look, we can't afford to leave him up there wide open. So Knicks definitely got to figure something out, but definitely we got to ramp up the physicality in game four.
We do. They try to punk us in game three. We got to come out and, you know, do the same. Be smart about it. Do the same. Don't want to get too crazy, but look, NBA, they did their thing in game three. Whatever. It is what it is. You want to play like that? Okay. We're just going to come out and just do what we do best in game four and win a damn ball game. And hopefully, you know, nobody would get hurt. It's going to be crazy again. But the Knicks, I feel like they're going to come out with a boatload of energy. I feel like they're going to come out guns a-blazing. And the Knicks, they're trying to get it. They're going to try to get the Knicks fans that are in the building involved in the game early. And you're going to hear them. Because one thing I know about this Knicks team is that they don't back down. Like, you could try to punk them. It can make it maybe seem like you punked them. But they're going to come back next game and they're going to respond. You know? Yeah. Because if they don't respond, it's 2-2 heading into Madison Square Garden. You still got home court. Still got two games in MSG. But, you know, that was why that getting that game two was important. But go up 3-1, right?
Yeah, look, I knew game three was going to be crazy. Again, I didn't think it was going to play out the way that it did. I mean, as far as all the drama that happened. But look, I always said it. Knicks got to steal one of these games in Philly. We got to.
Got to get one. Got to get one.
I'm still sticking to Knicks in six. That was my prediction. You know, I still think that this series is up for grabs, man. Both of these teams are playing pretty damn good, right? All bullshit aside with the refs and all that, you know, it's a hell of a series. But I think the Knicks definitely got to come in to game four, you know, with some vengeance, in my opinion. And I think we're going to see it, man. I personally think we're going to see a big game out of Dante DiVincenzo, man. I really do think he's going to light it up on game four.
Need it. NBA, Knicks will be 2024 NBA champs. First of all, I love that, by the way. I think you changed your name. But brings up a good point that I kind of thought of, too. I find it ironic, Chris, that right after the game, literally, Adrian Wojnarowski puts out a tweet that Joel Embiid is dealing with Bell's palsy. And I was like, you know, obviously that sucks for Embiid. And, you know, hopefully he can overcome that. But after the game, I was just going through so much emotions. Like, come on, you tweet this right after the game? Kind of wanting to, you know, smooth things over and kind of want to, you know, kind of want to make people feel bad in a way. Yeah. I just felt that was the timing was kind of like weird, in my opinion. Literally right when the game ended, boop, Woj bomb.
not only that, but look, it seems deliberate, right? Only because apparently Embiid has been going through this and it started around the play-in game.
Yeah.
Apparently he didn't want it to be released. He was wearing shades, things like that, trying to hide it, you know, because he didn't want it to be a distraction to the team. But when Embiid has an out of control first quarter, should have been thrown out of a game, has all this bad press coming his way, which in my opinion, again, I'm kind of disappointed by the media because a lot of them tried to just push all of that under the rug and just celebrate.
Especially the TNT crew.
That's exactly who disappointed me the most.
Nope.
Like, I don't get this. How you're going to celebrate this guy for a 50-point game, look great, fantastic. He should have not been in the game.
Yeah.
And I hate to go backwards on this, but look, obviously they threw that out there just to kind of deflect what happened, right?
Yep.
And make you, oh man, look, this guy dropped 50, he's dealing with, you know, facial paralysis of part of his face on top of it. He has a bum knee. This guy's a warrior. Nah, he's a dirty player. That's what he is.
Right after the game, bro.
Let's not
right
get it
after
it.
The game. Yeah. Literally, I was like,
yeah, I ain't fooling nobody.
This is not by coincidence ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski, that you just tweeted this. There's a reason, like Chris just said, there's a narrative that you're trying to push. And look, man, it is what it is at this point. I mean, we all see it. As long as we see it in the room, those in the chat see it. I see it. Chris see it. A lot of Knicks fans see it. We see right through the BS, to say the least. But look, man, go out there and win a basketball game on Sunday at Game 4, and that's it. That's all we got to worry about. Be more physical. And yeah, guys will step up. I believe in the team. We're still up 2-1 at the end of the day. You know, we're the better team, in my opinion. And Embiid just had an amazing game offensively. Amazing third quarter from the Philadelphia 76ers, and that's what ultimately won them the game. And look, in the fourth quarter too, Chris, I think the Knicks were down like, I think it was like 7 or 6. Yeah. And that's the play where Embiid literally hunted OG Anunoby right in front of the referee and put his backside in Anunoby, and Anunoby fell to the ground. NBA referees like literally standing right here, right next to Joel Embiid. And it was still, the game was still within reach at that point. You hit a three, then it's a two possession game with like 2 minutes to go. But of course, they put on the blinders. We don't see anything. We move on.
That was the part where I basically said, all right.
That was ridiculous.
Knicks are not going to win this game because the refs are just, you know, not only that, but this is exactly sums up this game. So Embiid, like you said, clearly looking back, sees OG Anunoby, charges up and basically hip checks him into the ground. The ref is right there, stares at OG Anunoby going down, does absolutely nothing. What happens 2 seconds later with Embiid down the court? He gets the ball.
He gets fouled, right?
Iheart put his hand on his, barely grazed his hand, and Embiid flails, foul call, and Embiid to the line to put them up 10. Come on.
Yeah.
That's, you get hip checked and it's not a foul, but I barely grazed your pinky and it's a foul.
That's what we got to deal with, guys. Hopefully that nonsense. Look, I'm sure the Knicks are sending all the tapes to the NBA, but they're not going to do anything about it. But hopefully that nonsense subsides in game 4 and we come out with a victory. But it's just little, call the game fairly, man. I mean, at that point, it's still a like 2-3 possession game. At that point, we get the ball back. Embiid finished the game with 3 fouls. He had 3 fouls in the first, I think, in the second quarter. It's not, somebody got the word out to the refs, and it is what it is. But I'm sure, like Nostalgic says in the chat, don't argue with the refs in game 4. I'm sure the Knicks aren't going to. I'm sure there's going to be some arguing, but hopefully we get a good crew, get a nice experienced NBA referee crew in that game 4, and we just go from there, because game 3 was a crap show, man. I mean, it was uncalled for. The thing is, like, game 2, they came out with that last 2-minute report, and they said they missed a lot of foul calls, but the Knicks still had to do everything right to win that game, still had to grab an offensive rebound, still had to hit a big shot, still had to out-hustle the Philadelphia 76ers. Fast forward to game 3, it's not the same. Like, you just don't call the game differently to give the 76ers an advantage.
Yeah.
You just don't do it.
I get it. They're home, and people want to say, oh, that's the home whistle. Yeah. No. Look, game 1 and game 2, like you said, obviously game 2 had its crazy ending. I still think the Knicks had to earn it hitting those shots. Look, that's not the same thing that we saw in game 3. Hopefully, when game 4 rolls around, like you said, we get a more experienced crew. I think the NBA has to do it. I think they have to throw their best officials out there and just literally reset the officiating. Let it be officiated the way it should be. And let's not have any lopsided, you know, officiated games where it's like 19 free throws, but Embiid has 30. If he gets fouled, don't get me wrong, call the foul. But let's not call it one way on one side and then a whole complete other way on the other side. I don't want to see that.
I think the officiating crew was already predetermined before the series, so who knows who we get. Not sure what jerseys the Knicks wear. I think that's out already, but and then I'll tweet it on the Knicks Nation page. But some poll update. Should Joel Embiid be suspended for game 4? Yes, at 74%. No, we want revenge at 20%. 6%. How many people we have in here? I think 45 people in the chat. Smash the like button. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel. If you're re-listening to this on Apple, Spotify, always appreciate you guys as well. Doing this content all throughout the whole playoffs, post games. I do the post games. We're doing podcasts more often. Really growing over here. Really appreciate you guys for tuning in. And we just got to get another victory on Sunday, man. Let's do it. Chris, you ready for some trivia?
Yeah, man. Are you ready for some trivia? You're up, man. It's my turn to try to stomp you. I think I lost last time, right?
Yeah, you lost.
All right. You ready? It's a little hybrid basketball / baseball question for you.
Okay.
Here we go. Which Knicks All-Star pitched a shutout for the Chicago White Sox? Is it A, Walt Frazier, B, Dave DeBuscher, C, J.R. Smith, D, Bill Bradley? Knicks All-Star pitched a shutout for the White Sox.
So he played both in the NBA and in the MLB.
Yep. Kind of insane, right? When you think about it.
J.R. Smith doesn't belong. Like, I feel like J.R. Smith like pitched like maybe throughout the first pitch in a game. But I'm going to eliminate J.R. Smith right off the bat. I'm going to eliminate Walt Frazier too. I don't think Walt played baseball. So the question is, which Knicks All-Star pitcher us, what is it?
Which Knicks All-Star pitched a shutout for the Chicago
White Sox? J.R. Smith wasn't an All-Star. So he's gone.
All right, man. I'm trying to give you a freebie there.
Pitch a shutout for the Chicago White Sox. A, Walt Frazier. B, Dave DeBuscher. C, J.R. Smith. Or D, Bill Bradley.
Bradley.
It's either B or D for me. Bill Bradley. Baseball player. White Sox. Dave DeBuscher. I feel like that could be a baseball name. Dave DeBuscher.
Hey, man. Bradley is a pretty common baseball name, too, man.
I'm going to go D, Bill Bradley. Final answer. I don't know if I got this right.
Is that your final answer?
Why'd you say final answer?
I just want to make sure that's your final answer.
Yeah, that's my final answer.
You are wrong. It is Dave DeBuscher. August 13th, 1963, man. Dave DeBuscher, man. Pitched the shutout.
I know. It's such a baseball name, Dave DeBuscher.
That's insane, but man. Yeah, I actually didn't know that
until I didn't know that at all.
And I was just like, wow, that's pretty dope, man. That is pretty damn dope.
Dave DeBuscher. So what are we doing? I'm two and three now.
Two and three.
I think you're 2-2. All right. I'll get you next week. I get you next week. Yeah, man,
you gotta bring some crazy ass question like that.
Hey, my question for you a couple days ago was pretty good.
No, that was good.
Anything else you wanted to, you know, game four? What are your expectations in game four?
I think the Knicks are gonna come out with the energy, man. I really do. Look, I love what Brunson said, or lack of what he said at the post game. You know, kept it professional, and that's who the New York Knicks are, right? We're not going to whine the way the 76ers did after game two. We're just going to go out there and let our play do the talking, man. I can't wait for game four. Look, again, I know it's going to be a battle, but I highly, highly doubt we're going to get a repeat 50-point performance or, hell, a third quarter going 9 of 12 overall three-point shooting from the 76ers. So, again, look, our offense has been good. It hasn't been our problem. The Knicks have to obviously tighten up the defense. But, again, we're up 2-1. Pressure's still on Philly.
Yep.
Pressure is still on Philly. We just got to go out there and execute the way we know how to do.
Go out there, win a game. Keep doing what you're doing. Stop them in the pick and roll. Make some adjustments on that end. JB, continue. You know, I thought it was a great step in the right direction. You know, Devo, I think, like you said, we'll have a good game. And the bench unit, I think, will, you know, step up as well. But just got to – I think the NBA will kind of lax a little bit in game four, and Embiid shot 21 free throws. I think that number will go down. It's just, it's crazy. Yeah. But I feel like the Knicks will go up 3-1 heading back into MSG. Nick P in the chat says rigged 100%. All right, we'll end it with the autograph read. So, guys, you want a Deuce chance to win a Deuce McBride signed jersey? Well, Autograph is where real fans get unreal rewards by bringing the best content for your team into one place. Autograph is the first app that can recognize and reward fans, turning their passion into access and experiences. Get all your sports content in one place. We are on there. Knicks Nation Podcast is on there as long with other Knick creators as well. Link is in the bio. Just use code NYK. They're giving away a Deuce McBride signed jersey, and if Deuce McBride, he's playing really well. So, like Chris and I said, we want that. We want that jersey.
Deuce.
We'll end it with Knicks will be 2024 NBA chances. Losing game four guarantees this series goes back to Philly. Game four is the biggest game of the series. Yeah. It's a big game. It's a big game. But you lose it, then you guarantee going back to Philly. You win it, then you got a chance to go back into a crazy environment in Madison Square Garden, where Knicks fans are not going to forget what happened in game three. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. I think Knicks are going to show up game four. And look, we gotta take Philly out, man. If we got a chance to go up 3-1, we gotta do it. We gotta get it done. Because look, you get the more Philly wins, the more confidence they're gonna get.
Yeah.
So we gotta take care of business. We gotta take care of business.
We got to appreciate every single one of you joining us tonight. Like I said, if you haven't already, smash the subscribe button. As always, I'm Anthony.
I'm Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time. Peace. Have a good weekend. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.